You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us at Grace Ranch in Grace Chapel for our third night of the Ministers Conference. Steve, will you lead us in prayer?
Father, we just thank you very much for bringing us all together and for this convention and all the work that goes into it. Father, when we've seen you move the mightiest, it's always been when your people have been of one mind. Lord, we need you to work in each of our hearts and minds and lives to bring us together in that one mind. And we just pray, Lord, that you'd move mightily through the team together to bring us together in you, that we may come together and that we may experience a mighty move of your Spirit and a manifestation of your presence here amongst us. And we ask, Lord, that you would do these things notwithstanding our shortcomings, but simply by your grace and in your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
the Holy Spirit is here right now. And he wants, he desires that you cast your cares upon Jesus, your fears, your worries, your anxieties, your shortcomings, whatever your cares may be, illness, frailty, infirmities. Take a moment while they sing and cast your cares upon Jesus.
Moved on you, but you forgot how to
to do it. Started trusting in your own faith. Started listening to people around you. It's time to stop now. It's time to stop. You put your faith in His faith. You hear His word. And deliverance is yours. Complete. Amen. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
This is the time. Just lay your cares down.
Say amen if you love Jesus.
Amen.
Say amen if Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Amen.
Wait a minute. Hold it right there. What happened? It didn't come out the same. You said, say amen if you love Jesus, and everybody shouted amen. And then you said, say praise the Lord, or amen, or whatever, if Jesus loves you.
Right.
And it was half by them.
I don't know if that's true or not.
It's like, there may be some uncertainty in this room.
Yeah, there's a little I'm not sure going on.
I think what they ought to do is try it again, and this time use the faith of Christ, and not their own faith.
Amen.
Try it again.
All right. If Jesus loves you, say amen.
Amen!
I think that works. Wanted to turn over to Matthew. I think it was Matthew 22, 37 to 39. Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Love. It's really it in one word. Love. Do you love the Lord with all of your heart?
Amen.
All of your mind? All of your strength?
Amen.
You should. Are you loving your neighbor? Are you sharing that love? Remember, Brother Davey preached a sermon, pour in the love that I might pour it out, Lord. If you're holding in all that love, there's no place to go. If you want those batteries to be recharged, like we mentioned earlier on in the week, you got to get that flow going. Real quick, I'm going to flip over to John 13 and read 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Do folks out there know that you're one of Jesus' disciples? I mean, do they know? Or are you afraid to show it? You holding something back? It's time to stop. It's time to get rid of it. Brother Scott, awestruck, was that the word you were using today? It got me thinking about times when I have been awestruck by the power of God, by His love for me, for those around me. And it was Brother Bob mentioned, I think it was in one of the after meetings, about that guy at Home Depot that we were speaking with. And that was one of those moments when I was awestruck. Awestruck. Many of you might not have heard the story, so I'm going to give a little testimony of it. A few days before actually going to Home Depot, I was battling myself with unbelief. I was in a rough place. I didn't think the Lord loved me. I wasn't sure if I loved Him. I was all sorts upside down. But I was praying. I had hope that He would turn me right side up. I would have hope that I would just know that I wasn't so horrible that He'd forgotten about me or, you know, casted me off or whichever. And it happened that you and I went to Home Depot that day. And as I recall, we were both pretty quiet in the car on the way there, and I was in prayer. Maybe you were talking and I was ignoring you. I don't know. But when we had gotten there, we got out of the vehicle, and we started walking toward Home Depot, and I saw this motorcycle that was parked kind of near the building. There wasn't really anything that unique about the motorcycle. I remember it was white and green. That's about it. But there was something about the motorcycle. It's strange. Hey, Bob, you see that motorcycle? Oh, yeah, you know. And we walked on in. And we're going about our business. We wound up in the plumbing aisle. And the gentleman was looking through some stuff, and he was trying to figure out a thing. And he happened to walk over to Bob and say, hey, could you help me out? Bob said, sure. And he was trying to solve, get a pipe through his roof with some flashing around it and this. And he explained the whole thing, and Bob was, you know, trying to help him out as best he could. You might want one of these or one of those. And as I was, you know, listening and kind of chiming in here and there with the conversation, I realized that this guy had a motorcycle helmet with him. I said, oh, that's interesting. You know, whatever. And we continued talking, and Bob sort of finished up with the advice, you know, on how to repair this thing, and I think he might have given him a card, or maybe I gave him a card and said, hey, you know, if you have further questions, give us a call. And he looked at the card, oh, you guys are ministers, oh yeah, so that started a whole nother conversation. And in that conversation that then span probably 2 hours and 15 minutes, you know, if the whole thing was 2.5. I mean, there was conversations about his life, about problems that he was having, about the current fellowship that he was at, about the pastor of that fellowship, about his daughter who is his fiance, about just an entire plethora. Well, the pastor's daughter was the guy's fiance, just to be clear. Yeah. Yeah. For the sake of accuracy, we got that straight. But while, you know, we're having this conversation, I know it was Bob's testimony afterward that the Lord was giving him verses of the Bible. Oh, no, that's not true. You know, and boom, he knew the verse that, you know, to point to. And he pulled it up on his phone and he'd read it. And as the conversation's going on, I felt this overwhelming power just sort of in that area where we were. And the Lord showed me this man alone in his apartment praying. I don't remember the entire prayer right now, but I remember it was two things. He wanted to know if he was real, if he did love him. And he wanted to know what to do. It was a couple sentence prayer. And deep down I knew I should have told him. But I was scared, see? I was afraid to tell this guy that I didn't even know something that the Lord had for him. The Lord gave me the answer to the guy's prayer. I was still scared. I was about shaking in my boots. I was ready to run on out of there. I mean, that's the only way I can explain it. And that was because of my own pride, my own unbelief. But praise God, conversation kept going. It came around, I had another opportunity to share with him, and I chickened out again. But the Lord loves me, loved him, had grace upon all of us in the midst of that entire thing. And the conversation again came to a point. And I think I said to him, "Do you believe that we're ministers of Jesus Christ?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "The Lord showed me you praying in your apartment, your room. It has this on the wall. It had this carpet. It had this paneling." His eyes got big. "Your prayer was this." And I said him the prayer word for word. And I said, "Is that true? Is that what you prayed?" Tears coming out of his eyes. You remember that? "Yes. That's what I prayed." I said, "The answer is Jesus loves you. And we're here to tell you that. And the answer to your second question is found in Isaiah 3:12. And we turned to Isaiah 3:12 and we read him. Isaiah 3:12, which is a hard verse. And at the end of that, we asked, "Do you understand?" He said, "I do." And he was crying right there in Home Depot. There was a little bit more conversation. He was very thankful. He seemed as though he truly received that which was spoken to him, and it is my hope that he did. We extended him an opportunity to come on out or give us a call or whichever. He hasn't yet. Doesn't mean he won't. But in that entire experience, from the few days before where I was in a real bad place to the time when I was just basking in the joy of the Lord for doing that which he had me to do, it was night and day. It was joy like I probably have never experienced before. It's an amazing God that can take a guy like me who's in a real rough place and show me without a doubt that he loves me. And at the same time, answer a prayer of another man whom, you know, we had never met before. And show him that he too loved him. It's that love that we're to have one for another. It's that same love of God that we're to share. We need to get about the business of sharing it, about spreading it. Because I'll tell you, that feeling that you have there, that's better than any high you can ever experience. That's better than anything that you can buy. That's better than anything that you have or think that you have right now. All of that stuff is, as Paul said, dung. If you want the things of God, they're at hand. They're here. They're ready to be received. All you need to do is believe and receive. Hear, listen, obey, believe, receive. We've got a few days left. We need practice at this. This is a safe environment to practice, right? Let's work on this. Let's get this down. And then when we go out into the world, we can share this with folks that have never seen it before.
Resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?
Go ahead. Say I'm dead and gone, but you will see that you were wrong. Go ahead. Try. Come again.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer. Praise God. You know, Richard earlier in the week was talking about how he prefers the empty cross. And, you know, one of the amazing things, you know, people have struggles, right? We got people who have physical and other ailments. When Jesus was on that cross, he was so disfigured. The scripture refers to him, he was a worm and not a man. And that's not even in the New Testament where it does that. That was the prophet Isaiah who testified of that. And David as well. And yet when he rose from the dead, was he a worm? He wasn't a worm anymore, was he? And we've been praying. Richard was talking, oh gosh, a few days ago, he was talking about the butterfly. Remember the butterfly? My children are always picking up caterpillars. They love caterpillars. Caterpillars aren't very pretty. And they're kind of prickly a lot of times. They're not like warm and cuddly. And there's certainly nothing about a caterpillar that would ever give you any idea that that caterpillar could fly. And that's one of those things. I mean, you look at us. What do we want to do? What do we want to do? We want to fly. Amen? We want to fly. But when we look at ourselves, we see the caterpillar. And we look at the caterpillar, we think there's no hope. There's no way. There's no way. But the fact of the matter is that when you enter into that cocoon, that love of God changes you. That love of God changes you. The beauty of the gospel, when I read the gospel, and when we read the stories about, you know, the guys doubting what Jesus did and not believing him when he saw, and then fearing and locking the door and all the other stuff, those guys flew. And you know what? It wasn't 40 years later. It wasn't 40 years later. And it was like 50 days later. And they were off. I mean, and they were off. I mean, they'd walk down the street, people would bring people out, and people would be healed if just Peter's shadow went over them. Just Peter's shadow. And what we've been learning this week, if you will, is we've been learning that, look, our faith isn't going to get it done. In fact, there's nothing about us that's going to get it done. Absolutely nothing. I mean, why would Jesus say, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. You know what's amazing about Jesus, though? That was his own testimony. That was his own testimony. Without my Father, I can do nothing. And you know, the same Father that came upon Jesus comes upon us. The same Father. No different. No difference. That's why when Scott was asking, you know, hey man, you know, if you love Jesus, say praise, you know, say amen. And everybody shouted amen. And he said, if Jesus loves you, say amen. And everybody's like, I hope to God he loves me, you know. Right? Isn't that what was going through your head? I'm not so sure I could say that. Right? And that's because we're looking at the worm. And we don't see any hope in that worm. And we don't see anything that's lovable in that worm. But what's the scripture say? The scripture says, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners. When all we could do was wrong. When we didn't even know what was right. When we had no sense at all, only thought we did. Right? I mean, some of the things we did that we thought were good ideas, those of us who are adults and have children, we look at them like, I hope to God they don't do those things, man. We were some kind of stupid, D-U-M-B stupid, right? I mean, you want your child, Corey, to grow up like you were telling me about the other day? Ah. But when we were in the midst of those things, the things that led us to those things, we thought were pretty daggone smart. It's an amazing thing. And yet the Lord in His grace, look, did He cast you off, Corey? Did He cast you off, Margie? Did He cast you off, Phil? Did He cast any of us off? See, that kind of love, it's not like our love. I mean, think of how easily we cast one another off. I mean, all we have to do is, really, I mean, nothing at all, annoy me. I mean, just annoy me. I mean, you don't even have to hurt me. You don't have to do anything bad. You don't have to fart in my face. Oh, just annoy me. Say something that kind of is like, why do you say that? I won't use the words I was thinking, but they weren't very nice. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, watch my children. Joe, I mean, does your little sister ever annoy you? She's actually very good at annoying Joe. But of course, the thing is that things are so much about Joe that Sam's very easy to can't annoy Joe very well. Everybody can freaking annoy Joe. I'm sure I annoy Joe all the time. Am I right?
I annoy him just by looking at him.
And look, when we get annoyed, where is the love, man? Where is the love? Is it anywhere to be found? Gone, down in the ditch, buried. And so it's hard because of the way we are to believe God for how He is. And yet doesn't He show it to us all the time? I mean, it's amazing. I mean, Scott's sharing that testimony and the like, and praise God. I get that. I understand that. I mean, Phil was talking to me the other day over here, and he was talking about how it just always seems like I keep coming back to square one. I mean, God, I mean, it's just an amazing thing, right, Phil? I mean, it just, I'm dead, Lord, I apologize, I'm a jerk, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm the other thing. Please help me, have mercy upon me, please straighten out this mess, help some of me, I don't know what to do, help, 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 boom, help. Arise, da, 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 da. God shows up and everything goes great. And Phil's like, man, that was awesome, Lord, and things like that 2 days later. Oh, Lord, please have mercy on me. I'm a jerk. I came back. I was a jerk to my children. I was tired, and I just, oh, they annoyed me, and I was just, oh, and then Lisa came by, and oh, Brad, and oh, my God, Lord, right? Anybody relate to doing this kind of thing? See, that's why the Lord, you know, we go to sleep at night and the sun rises in the morning, gives us new hope once again. Usually by the time I wake up in the morning, all of the stupid, idiotic things I've done the day before are testifying against me. Or that's when I get up before everybody else. When everybody else gets up before me, I don't need anybody to testify against me. I'm testifying against myself with my own attitude against everybody else who's all around me. Right? That's how we are. So it is hard, it's hard for us to imagine, you know, the love of God. So He keeps showing it to us over and over and over and over and over again. And all He wants to bring us to is that place where we just know that He does love us, that He's not casting us off. You know, Scott, if you listen to the words he was talking about on his way to Home Depot, I mean, those days when you were praying like 3 days before, you know, I hope I'm not so terrible that He has just cast me off. Right? Those were your words. I hope I'm not so terrible. Well, you are. I mean, I was thinking to myself, hello, this is no news flash. You're worse than you think you are. What are you talking about? You're light on yourself. You worked for me. I remember what it was like.
Did I annoy you?
Oh, yeah.
He annoyed me, and I got no sleep with him trying to clean up after him all the time. It was like having a whole new baby again, but he worked in my law office. It's terrible. I was exhausted, was I not, love? I was exhausted. It was exhausting to have Scott work for me. Scott was completely oblivious to it. He thought he was great, man.
Still does.
That's why he was so shattered when he thought he was terrible for a day, right? Oh, my God, I'm terrible. Well, you know, it was funny. I mean, we were talking with Brad earlier, and we were talking about some different things, and, you know, it was an interesting thing. We were doing a revival, and Scott would have been there. Megan would have been there. Carrie might have been there. I'm not sure if she was around. I mean, you were around, but it was down in New Hampshire, so I'm not sure if you were coming to the meetings. We were in a place called Claremont, New Hampshire. Boy, was that rough. I mean, we're trying to drive the stakes in for the tent, and we're breaking that jack, and we're having to hammer it in by hand with a sledgehammer, and it's going into rock, and it's, I mean, we were sweating. We were sweating. I was hammering. Yeah, me. Charlie was hammering, I think, too. You know it had to be rough, man. not much material to work with. But we got through, and during the message was even harder. And in the midst of it, if you'd known me back in my first 10 years in the Lord, Carrie knows this about me, so does Ann and some of the others. I mean, you know, the snowstorm. People would be going like, well, man, maybe we should cancel Bible study. Snowstorm, schmo-storm, we're going to have a Bible study. I'll drive down there. I forget all of that, man. I was just, nothing was going to stop me. Remember that, Carrie? Da-da-da-da, Super Steve has arrived. Let's have revival today, all right? Praise God, hallelujah. Wait a second, don't laugh so hard at this, all right, guys? I mean, you're beginning to make me feel like you know what I'm talking about. So, you know, Super Steve would go anywhere, talk anytime, any hours. Did not matter, right, Scott? I mean, I was just, man, I was on it. It did not matter. There was there. And other people who would go back and be like, what's wrong with them? Maybe they had a little sense, perhaps, but the fact of the matter is that wasn't my perspective. And when I was had been in ministry, I mean, Scott come to the Lord during this period of time. The Lord had been moving. I mean, it was pretty clear that the Lord had been moving, for example, down there in New Hampshire, that he'd been moving at Dog River. He had been moving in different situations, and I could see that he was moving. And the Lord had also raised me up and put me in places of greater authority. So there was a lot of things that suggested that things weren't all bad. So Super Steve was riding high. He was riding high. And then to top it off, I mean, the Lord gives me Megan to be my wife. Now, man, I am stratospheric, man. I am like, whew, ozone later schmozone. I mean, I saw that a long time ago as I was passing. It was awesome, okay? I mean, people who knew me knew this, right? Was this not true? Was this not true? It was awesome, man. And I was awesome, man. I'll tell you what. So, you know, what do you do when you get a really big balloon that's overinflated? It pops. Well, in Claremont, it popped. I mean, it popped big time. And now you talk about devastated. I felt like, I mean, I was in the elevator with Mike Tyson years ago because the law firm I worked for in New York, we represented Mike. And when he was heavyweight champion of the world and everything. And I remember one time the doors open from the library where I was, and I walk in, and there's Mike Tyson and his entourage, okay? And so it's Mike and I, kind of nose to nose, but he's shorter than me. Okay? So he's like, he's short, but he's, you know, burly. So here I come in, I step right there, and Mike and I are literally like 3 inches apart. I mean, I don't even know if we were that far apart. We were like tight like this. And it was kind of like when we get in there, I'm like smiling, hi, Mike, boom, and he hit me with a body blow, and I just went down, and couldn't get up for like 3 months. And that's pretty much what happened to me. I got hit, and what the Lord showed me is that everything I thought was good about me, remember the super Steve, underlined super, and Steve's all capital letters by that time. It's in fact, it's like across the sky, all right? Everything that I had thought about myself that was good. You don't laugh so hard, love. I mean, God. Everything I had thought that was so great about me, the Lord showed every bit of it was pure, unadulterated pride. And what was hard about that, I mean, leaving aside that that's kind of hard in and of itself, is the way in which I took it was that it was a complete repudiation of everything I'd ever done since I'd come to know the Lord. I took it as I wasn't his. I mean, what's it say? He resisteth the proud and giveth more grace to the humble and all these different things. And you know what my saving grace was in all of this? I had no idea. I mean, literally, I mean, I knew I was prideful. Don't get me wrong. I was completely oblivious. Now, other people weren't oblivious. It annoyed the hell out of them. But, right? I mean, isn't that the truth? That's the truth. And I managed to annoy pretty much everybody with it because it was confounding. How could such a prideful, arrogant idiot move forward in the Lord? And first of all, how could he sometimes move forward past me? I mean, it's obvious he's completely undeserving of any such thing, right? And so for 3 years, I was essentially, I mean, 3 months, I was essentially in mourning. But the thing that never happened is, that happened, I think Claremont was like the first revival we did that summer. So the whole summer, I got to lead worship. And some of you who sit in the back sometimes hear me sing, so you know that's not pretty to begin with. So the reason why it sounds so bad is because in my own mind, it sounds pretty good. I'm just completely oblivious to how bad it sounds. So,
do you know why I had you lead the worship?
Why is that?
It's so bad, Satan couldn't stick around.
Praise God. So you guys don't know how good you have it out here. Let me just tell you. You have no idea how good you have it. But what was, and John, I heard that. What was that? I heard that back there. I heard the amen back there. I heard it. but I mean, my saving grace through the midst of that is I was literally oblivious to it. I actually thought these were good things. I had no idea that it was pride. And what the Lord showed me over those, it took a good 3 months to get through it and leading the worship through that and then going down and running Bible studies. And I mean, nothing changed. David did not let me not do anything, notwithstanding the fact that I felt like I was going to hell and I was a child of the devil and there was no hope for me. And at the end of 3 months, the Lord showed me something that is really what it's all about. He showed me that where sin abound, grace just can't quite cover it, right? Isn't that the terrible Scott there? Am I so terrible he's cast me off? Is that not why where most of you are and your different issues where you're struggling? It's because how can God use me, right? How can God use me? See, the reason why God was able to use me is I was just oblivious to it all, so he didn't pull my chain with respect to that. He didn't burst my bubble for 10 years. And when he burst it, it was pretty devastating. But on the other hand, it bore a good fruit. Because the fact that his grace, where the scripture says, where sin abound, grace aboundeth more, I know that to be an absolute truth. I mean, there was no other basis upon which any of the things that he did with me through those times or to this present day could be done, but for the fact that where sin abound, grace aboundeth more. See, and where grace aboundeth more, God is glorified. He wasn't glorified in my sin, and he wasn't glorified in my pride, but he was glorified in his grace by which we're all saved. And anybody, see, people who were getting annoyed at me, they don't realize it, but they were getting annoyed at me because they were looking to something other than grace. You see, that's why people were annoyed at me. They were looking for something other than grace, and it was obvious that I was undeserving of such grace. In fact, the first day people met me, they were so enamored of me, they wanted to kick me out immediately. Nobody wanted, when I accepted the Lord on the third day I was there, everybody mourned. There was not excitement in Mudville except for Carrie, except for Davy. Praise God. I had two. And my sister Robin, who of course we know about James already, right? How could she be anyway otherwise, right? But no, the fact of the matter is what, and people don't realize this, see, that's what the grace of God does, is it glorifies God and his redemption, his salvation. It doesn't glorify us. And see, when we can get past the us and the fact that we're not the ones being glorified. I mean, I still look at Davy and think, really? That guy's a man of God? But I know he's a man of God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's nothing about Davy after the natural that would suggest to me in the smallest degree that he would be a man of God. I don't know about you. That was true when I met him 24, 25 years ago.
I did get a haircut.
I will say, when he got his haircut, it was easier. But you follow, I mean, he's the same today as he was when I met him 20 some odd years ago. He's the same, he is the same. He's the same offense that he was 20 some odd years ago. Now, I say it that way, and I don't mean it, I actually don't mean it meanly. I don't mean it meanly at all. Don't hear me wrong in that. But the fact of the matter is, remember we were talking about the other day about how Paul in his weakness and in his, which is basically his, what was the word I said? His infirmities. But the way in which it was translated was feeble, in his feebleness, if you will, and in his infirmities, in the things that didn't make him look good to anybody else, which are usually the things that we want to be exalted in, things that we think look good, right? Like if you're a computer guy like Charlie, want everybody to be mesmerized. Wow, Charlie's such a great computer guy. He needs that because what else does Charlie have, right? And I don't mean that meanly either, honestly. But the fact of the matter is he doesn't care. He knows that none of that that everybody does to try to make themselves appear to be something that they aren't, that's all the game. That's all the vanity. That's all the pride. That's what it is. See, the only thing, when we die to ourselves, what do we care about any of those things? What do we care about any of them? We recognize that they don't matter. And when we do that, then we can be about Christ and about his business, because that's the only thing that matters. It's the only thing that matters. And so I just want you to know, as you go forth from here, God doesn't care about your shortcomings. They may be news to you. They're not news to him. He knew it up front. And he died for you anyways. And he knows that his grace is sufficient for you. He knows it. Absolutely. He just wants you to know it too. It's really what it's about. He wants you to know it. And not because you've all of a sudden changed and don't seem to need it anymore. See, that's our problem, is we are striving for that place where we don't seem to need grace anymore. You're never going to reach that place. You're never going to reach that place. If there was anybody who could strive that way, it was Paul, wasn't it? What did he do? He besought the Lord thrice. What was the Lord's answer? I don't care about that. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, the reason why you can preach the gospel, Phil, is because you keep tripping and falling into something and getting Jesus cleans you up. That's why you can preach the gospel. If you avoided every pitfall and never screwed up, you'd lose sight of the gospel. You'd be like Super Steve, you know, Phil across the heavens. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's how it happens. It's the way in which we are. It's the way in which we are. So, look, let's put our faith and our trust in that which he says and not in what we say. Amen.
I am free to dance. I am free to live.
Are you done there, Cheryl? Well, praise the Lord. Not really praise the Lord. I was enjoying that. But praise the Lord. Amen. Thankfully, the convention is not over. Amen. And our opportunity to fellowship is also continuing. Praise God. So let's enjoy that fellowship, and we'll look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow morning. And you folks online, too. May the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.